Today's shir is Masechta Erevin Daf Chavav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey on the base, four lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara, Hi Avarmka. There was this place of trees, Davale Resh Galusa, that Resh Galusa had in his orchard. And the way this used to be built was that they had a tree, a large tree, that had very nice leaves, nice branches. And people used to leave under their tree different items. And Resh Galusa had this avarmka in his field. And he wanted to be, and the field, the garden, was larger than the Beis HaSayim, which, as we have been discussing, when you have a field that's larger than the Beis HaSayim, Shlei Hukaf Ladira, that wasn't intended to be a place of living, you may not carry there. And Rish Lakish wanted to have the ability to be able to carry them. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara, they used to have this gate that they put around the tree in the middle of the garden. And he wanted to be able to carry from his home to this avanka. So says the Gemara, Omalei Rav Huna Bachinana. So Resh Galusa said to Rav Huna Bachinana, Levit Marta Kanta, please make something work, that I should be able to eat bread under that tree. Ozel, so Rav Huna Bachinana went, Ovid Kana Kana Pox Mishloisha. He made a gate by putting up sticks that were within three tfochim of each other, directly from the home till the tree, and the area of that path that he had created from the home to the tree was less than the Beis HaSayim. So it was a place that was hukuf, that was encircled, but it wasn't encircled with the intention that it should be a Beis HaSayim. And since it wasn't encircled with the intention that it should be Beis HaSayim, he figured that you could carry them. Says the Gemara, Ozel Rava. Rava went and Shalfinu. He took out those sticks. Because Rava was of the opinion that you don't need to have that wall. Even without making that wall, Rava was on the opinion that it's mutter. Why was Rava of that opinion? Because Rava was on the opinion that the entire, since the main purpose of this garden was to have the avanka, and the avanka, this tree, as we said at the beginning of our shir, had this fence, this gate around it, so the rest of the field is considered the chotzer of the avanka. And therefore, since it was considered the pesach of the avanka, therefore it should be permissible to be carried there. Says the Gemara, Ozel Rava, so Rava went, and he, Ozel Papa Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, they went a step further. They were his Talmidim, and Naktinu Besrei. Not only did they rely, did they say that Rava is obviously correct, there's no need to make anything special, but they wanted to show it, so they took out those sticks. Lamachar, so tomorrow, when Resh Galusa wanted to sit in the Avanka, Esrei, Ravina LaRava. So Ravina asked Rava, how could you allow things to be transported from the home to the Avanka? How could you, the halacha is, Ir Chadosha, as we're going to learn, on Shabbos, one may not go outside of a city, a tchum of Alpaim Amma. The halacha is that the entire city is considered $1 amos. But the question is, when we say that the entire city is considered $1 amos, how do we understand that? Do we understand that from the last home of the city, you could carry, you have the right to go a tchum, there's nothing to do with carrying, you have a right to go a tchum of 2,000 amos, or can you go from the wall of the city? So the Braisa teaches us, a new city, and the Gemara is going to explain that in a moment, what that means. You count from the last home. an old city, you count Michamasa from the wall. Says the Braisa, Eza Chadosh of Eza Yishona, how do I identify a city as a new city or as an old city? Says the Braisa, Chadosha is Shehuk full of Psaif Yoshva. That first they put up the wall, and then they put up the homes. And therefore the wall is not considered the wall of the city. It cannot be considered the wall of the city if there was nothing to encircle, if there was no wall there yet. And as the Rashba says, even if when they put up the wall, it was clear that it was their intention to ultimately put up homes, and therefore the wall should be the wall of a city, it doesn't make a difference. If when I put up the walls, there were no homes, that's considered hukfa ulbsoif yoshva. Continues the Braisa, Yishona is a city, shiyosha ulbsoif hukfa. The first you put up the homes, and then after you put up the wall around it. So since the walls were put up to be around the people in the city, so therefore the entire city till the wall is considered $1 amos. And as the Meiri explains, in order to make that everything that's within the city is considered $1 amos, we have to have the first that you should have the people living there, and then the wall, because then it's obvious that the wall was made for the purpose of the people living there. Says the Gemara, let's think about this pardis. Vahainami, when we think about this pardis, where they made the avanka after there were walls around the whole garden, after the walls around the whole pardis, why is that not considered kuhukfa? Well, besides the Yoshua Dhamma, the first that has a wall, and then they put up the homes, and we learned that a wall that's put up before you have the Makam Dira is not considered a valid wall. So how could you rely on the walls that are there from before? Amalei Rapapala Rava, V'amar of Asi, Mechitzis Adarklin, the walls that were put up by the builders, that people, they want to have privacy while they're putting up the homes, loishna mechitza, is not considered a valid mechitza. Alma, what do we see? Kivin de lemitzniyusa avidala, a wall that was only put up to protect the people that are in there, loyava mechitza, is not considered a valid mechitza. Hachinami, so he asked over here, by the mechitza of the avanka, kivin de lemitzniyusa avidai, they were only made to be around the tree, and they should have privacy. The people that are sitting on the tree should have privacy. Lo have a mechitza. So we can't consider that wall around Avarka to be a wall that you could rely on. So what the Gemara is saying is, the wall around the field is not a valid wall because it came before the people lived there. And the wall around Avarka, that maybe you want to rely on that wall, is also not a reliable wall because it's only there litzniusa, and a wall that's only there litzniusa is not a valid wall. So it's very interesting to point out that the Gemara, at the beginning of the piece of Gemara, taught us that after Rava took away those trees that were around down the path with the people to make between the house and the avanka, Rav Huna Bar Yeshua even took it one step further. He didn't rely on them taking away, he took them away. And here we find the Rapapa and Rav Huna are the ones that are asking questions on Rava. So the simple pshat is that, as Rashi, the Rav Maskil Lahara explains, that they thought at the beginning that the halacha was like Rava, and to support the opinion of Rava, that's why they took away those sticks. And then afterwards, they started thinking, maybe that isn't the correct psak. A tremendous lesson. We should always be reviewing the Piskei Halacha that we say. The Ritva says that after Ravina asked the question to Rava, and Rava recognized that Ravina's question was a great question, Papa Rav Huna B'Yeshua also reviewed their own opinion. And after they reviewed their own opinion, they realized that their psak was wrong. So we see for here that when you make a wall and then you put in the people, it's not considered a valid wall as far as Hilchas Aruva Techumim. The Bi Halacha says, let's say you have a river that's going around the city. Again, even though the river, as we've learned many times already in our Masechta, maybe as far as Hilchas Ervin should be considered a Mechitza, but here we have a new consideration that we didn't have previously, and that is the consideration of Hukaf Ulpsoif Dira. And certainly if you have a river around the city, first you had the river, and then you had the Dira. The Miri also makes a very interesting observation. The Miri says that our Gemara is saying that Hukaf Ulpsoif Yoshva is not considered a valid wall. Says the Miri that by the Torah speaks about different types of cities and the rules when you sell property in those different types of cities, etc. And the Torah speaks about a bais moshev ir choyma, a home, a city that's a bais moshev ir choyma. It says the Miri, it's interesting that there it's just the opposite. There, if it's hukaf ulbsoif yoshav, it's considered a bais ir choyma. And our Gemara, it has to be yoshav ulbsoif hukam. So he answers, the Torah, when it speaks about Beis Moshev Ir Choyma, is very clear. The Torah says, Moshev, you came to live there, Ir Choyma, after it had a wall. But on Shabbos, the rules are very different. The rules is it depends on people living there. And therefore, if you had people there, and then you put up a wall, so it's obvious that the wall was made for the people that are living there. But if the wall was there before the people came, so then the wall wasn't made for the people. If the wall wasn't made for the people, then it's not considered hukaf, that's not considered a city that's meant to be living there. But ask the Rajba. So the Gemara is saying that they had made this path to get from the home to the Avanka, and if they would have done the right thing, they would have left the path there. But ask the Rajba, why would that path be acceptable? We just learned that any mechitza that's only made for tznius, that's not considered a valid mechitza. So this mechitza that was made for that path shouldn't be considered a valid mechitza under any circumstances. So he answers, says the Rajba, that since they had the tree with the fence around it, and now we make this mechitza, even though it's a mechitza that was only made for tznius, still, we're going to give it credibility and we're going to accept it as a mechitza. Only in the case that we're speaking about, where it was hukaf l'psoif yoshva, there we can't rely on such a mechitza. V'amar avuna b'reid v'yishu l'rova, v'amar avuna mechitza asui l'nachas, a mechitza that's meant to watch what's inside, lo'yishma mechitza. Is not considered a valid mechitza. The Rav Rav Huna says, what's the raya that a mechitza that's only meant to protect what's inside of it is not considered a valid mechitza? Says the Gemara, the Rav Rav Huna ma'arav lo l'kula mechuza. Rav Rav Huna made an eruv for the entire city of mechuza to be able to carry it. Arsi arsa. He made separate, for each separate neighborhood, for each neighborhood, that they should be able to carry within that neighborhood, they made special aruvah chatzeres shtufim v'vaz. Because what was separating these areas? Mishum shorcha de peir de beit Torah. They used to have ditches along the streets where they used to keep pits, food for the animals. And since those ditches were made and they went through the entire cities, so that prevented Rava from being able to make an area for the whole city, because there weren't walls around the whole city, even though they had these ditches. But Perid Beitira, let's think about those ditches. K'mechitza asui l'nachas damya is a ditch, so why is the ditch not considered an acceptable wall? The answer is that since the ditches were only made to store the food of the animals, a ditch that's made only to store the food of the animal is not considered a wall, because it's a mesechitza asui lanachas, says the Gemara. Kalei Reish Galusa. So Reish Galusa said regarding Reb Papa and Reb Huna Bar Yeshua that took away the sticks that they were relying on, Chachom Heim Lohora, they are, and now it's too late on Shabbos to fix it, Chachom Heim Lohora, they are Chachom had to be machmer and break down the sticks. Well, Hatev Layada, but they don't know how to figure out how to make that city work. So, the Rishonim explain that the job of a Talmud Chacham is to try to come up with a way to make it work, not for a way to make it awesome. The Chassam Sofer and the Shalosh Tshuvos Chassam Sofer Ohr Chaim Siman Tzadik Tes uses this Gemara to teach us how important it is to make an Erev for every city. He says, and the Chelkas Yaakov in Ohr Chaim Siman Kuf Ayin Aleph in explaining the Chassam Sofer says, here we see that if they only came up with ways not to have a good Erev, that's called Hachom Heim Lahara. The job of a Talmud Chachim is Lahetiv, is to try to come up with a way to make it work. I saw a beautiful pshat. The Torah, when it speaks about making a Shvua, it says Lahara or Lahetiv. And the Gemara Masach the Shvua is Tav Chav Chei Omebeis, and this Gemara actually appears in other places in Shas, explains that what's the definition of Lahara? She'oichel. What's Lahara? She'loyoichel. Lahetiv she'oichel. What do we see from here? There's two ways to serve Hashem. You could serve Hashem by not eating, by fasting. You could serve Hashem with eating. Tells us, Lahara lahetiv. You could do both ways. But the pasuk says Chachom Heim Lahara. It's not so simple to go Lahara. You could do that. But what's better is Lahetiv, to come up with a way to serve Hashem Lahetiv, with eating and still serve Hashem that way. It's also interesting to point out that our Gemara identified a Ir Chadasha and a Ir Yishana, a new city and an old city. And actually, we find this concept of an Ir Chadosh and Ir Yishana already in the Torah. The Torah says that when Loit ran away from Stoim, the pasuk says, "Hinena ha'ir azois kroiva lo v'shana v'hi mitzer." And Rashi explains, and the Gemara Masech Shabbos, based on the Gemara Masech Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Beis, that kroiva wasn't that a geographical, how close or far it was, but rather the definition of Kroiva is there was a city that was more recently established. And since it was more recently established, V'hi mitzor avoynoseha mutzorim, it has less averis. So the question is, if somebody needs to choose a community where to live, is there a point to live in a city which is a newer community, like we find Ir Chadasha, that it's better? So Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in his Sefer Chashuk Echemet has a long discussion. And he says, certainly, if you have two cities, even if one city is newer, but the other city has yeshivas and a Makom Torah, it's always better to live in a city where there's a Makom Torah. In general, he quotes Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, who took the approach that even though it's the Gemara, Masech Shabbos, Rashi quotes the Gemara, we don't find in a halacha that the Rambam or anyone should quote this as something to look for when you live in a city, that it should be Ir Chadasha. On the contrary, he says that there may be other things to look for. He says the Gemara says that a place, the Ein Shechina Shaira, Ella Al Yisrael Pachos Mishnei Alof Mishnei Revovis, that the Shechina is not in a place where there are less than 22,000 people. And therefore, maybe you should look at a place where there are 22,000 Jews. He quotes a Gemara Masech Damakis. The Gemara Masech Damakis says, Adam ubehema tashia Hashem. Adam b'schus behema. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves people in the schus of animals because animals don't do averis. So maybe there's a point to live in a city where there are river, where there are animals. He says that based on the Gemara Masechta Baba Basra, that Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, there may be an advantage to live in a city that has river, because river, we discussed this the other day, that it represents Tahara. Certainly, he says, there's always an advantage to live in a place where there are good neighbors, because Toiv L'Tzadik, Toiv L'Shcheinoi, Oil Rasha, Oil Shcheinai, it's always better to live in a place where there are less people doing an Aveira. Then he quotes the Chavetz Chaim, where the Chavetz Chaim goes into a discussion that there may be an advantage to live in a small town, in a small village. When you live in a large city, in a large place, there are all sorts of type of individuals who you could learn from, and you will not necessarily learn from them the best things. Living in a place where there are tzaddik, where there are less people, and won't have the influence of those type of people, is certainly the Chofetz Chaim held very advantageous. Continues the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Loi, Shematim Rabbi Lezer. I heard from Rabbi Lezer, we go back to what we learned in the Mishnah, that if you have a karfif that wasn't hukuf ladira, He is extremely lenient, and his opinion is you could carry a filikabase kor, even if it's large enough to plant a kor in that area. Says the Gemara, Masnison, that you could carry in such an area, even when it's as big as a base kor. Says the Gemara, like Chananya, doesn't seem to be consistent with Chananya's opinion. The Tanya Chananya Omer, a filihi arbasaw, even if it's as large to plant 40 saw, kasratya shamelach, which was the way the kings used to have those type their fields. The halacha is that you could plant there. Our Mishnah says that you could be lenient when it's big enough for a kor. A kor is 30 saw. And Chananya said you could have 40 saw. And as I saw the Ritva explains, there's a stira here. What is Rabbi Lezer's opinion? Is it 30 saw or is it 40 saw? Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shnei Mikra Echadarshu. Both Rabbi Loi and Chananya came to this psak from the same pasuk. The pasuk says, there's a very famous episode where Chizkiyahu was the king and Yeshaya came to visit him. And the pasuk says, V'hi Yeshaya v'yotza chotzuch itayna. Yeshaya came to visit Chizkiyahu and he gave him a very sharp message. And the pasuk says, before Yeshaya even went out of the chotzer, a new message came to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says, Ksiv ha'ir, the ksiv in the pasuk that says, where did Yeshaya reach, says ir. But the kri, the way that we have the kri for that pasuk is chotzer. Says the Gemara, Mikhail Esratah Shamelech, that the size of the backyard of the king were the size of a Yoris Bayonis. So we see that the Rechava, which is the chotzer, even though it's as big as a city, is considered like a chotzer. So we see that is the shear. But Maika Mefki now explains the Gemara was the machlokes of Reveloi and Chananya. Masav Ayor Benoinus Havian base core. Reveloi's opinion is that what's the size of Ayor Benoinus, the size of a base core. And Mara and Chananya's opinion is that's the size of Boim Saw. So that's the basis of their machlokes. Now the Gemara explains exactly what happened over there. Mekala tamad chokam shechala. What do we learn from this? It says the Gemara, Yishai my bohosam. Ask him, why was Yishai standing in that chotzer in the back of the king's home? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Babachana, back of Chizkiyahu's home. Amar Rabba Babachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Melamed shechala Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu got ill. V'holach Yishai v'yeshiva apischai. And Yishai made a yeshiva that they should be learning there. We can, says the Gemara, from here we see, letam chochem shechala, letam chochem get sick, what's the right thing to do? Shem yeshiva yeshiva apischai, make yeshiva there, says the Gemara v'lam milsi, and really it's not correct, because we need to be concerned, dilma also leguri be satan, it may irritate the satan. So, there's two pshatim, based on two different girsas, why you should, how we understand this whole episode of making yeshiva. According to the Ein Yaakov's version of Rashi, why shouldn't you make a yeshiva there? That you may incite the Malach HaMavis by having Talmid HaChachamim trying to resist him, preventing him from getting into the sick man's home. And therefore, we want to not do that to incite the Malach HaMavis. The Rashi in our Gemara is concerned that the Talmid HaChachamim may argue between themselves, and that arguing, instead of preventing the Malach HaMavis from coming to this area, might actually cause that the Malach HaMavis should come there. So ask the Mashal, if establishing yeshiva near a sick person is not a good idea, so why did Yeshaya do it? So the Mashal answers, the Chizkiyahu situation was unique, because as we spoke at the beginning, Yeshaya came to tell Yechizkiyahu Nevuah that he's going to die. The reason he was going to die is because he didn't get married and have children. So Yeshaya was thinking to himself that Chizkiyah's situation is a very bad situation anyway, so that there's nothing to lose anymore, and therefore I could put up a yeshiva there. Another pshat that I saw from Elazar Moshe Pinsk, he says there's a difference between the Talmidei Chachamim of the earlier generations and the Talmidei Chachamim nowadays. In those days, there was no concern that Talmidei Chachamim would argue. And as I always understand, it doesn't mean there was no concern that they wouldn't argue. They would argue, but the argument was purely L'Shem Shemayim. And since the argument was purely L'Shem Shemayim, so that's not something that would cause the Malach HaMavis to come. In later generations, he explains, where the arguments amongst Talmidei Chachamim is not necessarily L'Shem Shemayim, that's why he was able to come. The Ben Yoyada asks a question. The Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, in Masechet Brachos, that Yeshaya came to Chizkiyahu and told him you're going to die because you didn't have children. And then Yeshaya told Chizkiyahu, you're never allowed to. So then Chizkiyahu said, so let me marry your daughter. So he said, no, I'm not going to allow you to marry my daughter because on you there was already a gzeira that you're going to pass away and there's no point in me giving you my daughter. So he asks, if Yeshaya had given up all hope for Chizkiyahu, so why is he making yeshivas? So he says that at the beginning, he gave up hope. But once Chizkiyahu told him that a Jew is never allowed to give up hope, afilu cherev chad menachas al tzavaro shel adam lo yishash, that no matter what the situation is, a Jew is not allowed to give up hope. At that point, Yeshaya said, you know, Chizkiyahu, you're right. And therefore, I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to make a yeshiva here to hopefully be able to bring to you a refuah shleima. Another pshat that the Ben Yoyada says is that Chizkiyahu had indeed given up hope on Yeshaya. But Chizkiyahu didn't want that publicly people should think that this is the way he's treating Yeshaya, that by all Talmidei Chachamim, they used to make a yeshiva pischoi, they used to make a yeshiva where they were living, and by him, he's not going to make a yeshiva where he's living. And therefore, in order not to treat Yeshaya differently, even though he didn't believe Yeshaya had a chance, he made a yeshiva there anyway. Says the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah, if you have people that live all in one chotzer and one didn't make an Erev, and he was mevatel his rishos, beis also you can't carry from his home. So the concept of bitul rishos is that what does an Erev chatzeres accomplish? What an Erev chatzeres accomplishes is that without an Erev Chatzeres, we know that you can't carry into the common areas, you can't carry into the chatzar, you can't carry into the lobby of a apartment house. And what the Erev Chatzeres accomplish is that by us all contributing together to the Erev Chatzeres, and putting that Erev Chatzeres in one of the homes of that Chatzer, it's like we're all living together. So now, if somebody did not participate in giving the Erev, so his Rishus remains separate. So Chazal said, how could we correct this? By Bittul Rishus, that the person who didn't participate in the Erev should be mevatel his Rishus to all his other neighbors, and by him mevatel Rishus, so he's not there anymore. And since he's not there, then it doesn't. There's no problem from carrying from his home to the Chatzer, because his home doesn't exist. However, Chazal said that even though he was Mevatel Rishus, he may not carry from his home out to the Chatzer. The reason Chazal said that is because they were concerned that if we're going to allow him to carry from his home back to the Chatzer, it's going to look like he's retracting on that Bittul Rishus. And since it looks like he's retracting from his Bittul Rishus, then we're back to where we started. So the Mishnah said that if you have the people of the Chatzer that one of them forgot to participate in giving the Erev, and he did what we just said, Bittul Rishus, the halach is based on his house, he can't carry from his home, as we just explained, but everybody else can carry from his home. Ask the Gemara, but we're going to learn the Mishnah later in the Masechta, Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, Beisoy, his home, also allow to lahakdus loy ulahen. Then not only may he not carry from his home, but everybody else, all the other neighbors, may not carry from the home. So how do we reconcile that Mishnah with our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Bar Yeshua, Amar Rav Sheshes, loy kasha. Ha, the opinion of our Mishnah, that other people who live in the Chatzor can carry from the home of the person who was Mevatel Rishus, represents the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. And that's exactly what Rabbi Loi said in the Mishnah, that he's reporting the opinion of Rabbi Lezer. For ha, the Mishnah that says that nobody could carry from his home represents the opinion of Rabbanan. And says Rav Sheshes, Kishatim Tzoloimer, when you're going to try to analyze the Machloikus of Rabbi Lezer and the Chachamim, if somebody is mevatel his rishus chatzeroi af rishus beis habitul, even though he didn't speak about his house, it is included automatically, and therefore his house is also included in the bitul, and therefore you could carry from the home to the other chatzeris. Well, Rabbanon, versus according to the Rabbanon, Hamat Rishus Chatzeri, Rishus Beis Leibitel, it's not automatically included. And therefore, the Chatzer is no longer an issue because he's Mevat Rishus in the Chatzer, but he wasn't Mevat Rishus in his home, and therefore the home remains separate. Says the Gemara Peshitta. That's obvious that the Machloikis between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbanon. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, the words Kishtim Tzeloimer means that I did some analysis. What's the analysis that's required? Isn't that obvious? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rechava, Anor Rav Huna Berei Bechina Tegma, Lo Nitzrecha, the Machloikus is, and the analysis is for the following situation. L'chamisha Shiruyim B'chotzer Achad. You have five neighbors that share a chotzer. V'shochat Echemem V'loy Erev. And one of them did not make an Erev. The Dir Rav Elazar, according to Rav Elazar, he Rav Elazar's of the opinion, Hamavatel, the Ein Yofel Mevatel. And therefore, Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that if he was Mevatel Rishus Chatzeroi, we assume that he certainly was also Mevatel Rishus Beisoi. And we don't say, well, he only spoke about his Chatzer, it doesn't include his home. Furthermore, Kishu Mevatel Rishusoi, according to Rabbi Lezer, when somebody does Bittul Rishus, Ein Tzarech Levatel Kol Echav Echad. You don't have to make a separate bittul to every one of the neighbors. As soon as you mevatel to one of the neighbors, we know that he means everybody. Again, because Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that somebody who does it with a generous way in the most broadest application. According to Rabbanan, who doesn't do it that way, shevatel rishus, so just like because he was mevatel chotzer, it doesn't include his house. Similarly, just because he's mevatel rishus to one neighbor, it's not enough. He has to be mevatel rishus to every neighbor. Tzorach levatel kalecha v'echad, says the Gemara. Kaman oz lahod tanya. whose opinion did this represent? That the Braisa says Chamisha Shurim b'chatzar achat, five neighbors in one chatzar. V'shach echman v'la'eriv, and one person didn't participate in the eriv. K'shemvatul l'shus, ain't tzarich vatul l'shus l'kalech v'echad. You don't have to be mevatul l'shus to each neighbor individually. Taman, Rebbe Elazar, it's obviously the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. Says the Gemara, Rav Tuvi, Rav Kohana Masna Hachi. The way we just had the analyzed the machlokes of Rabban and Rebbe Elazar was the way Rav Kohana analyzed it, and therefore the brayse that says that chamisha shishurim b'chatzar echad, that you don't have to mevatel to each one, represents the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. However, Rav Tavyumi Masna Hachi. Rav Tavyumi had a different way of explaining. If five neighbors live in one chatzar, and one of them didn't participate in the eruv, says the Gemara, command Am Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Am Rav Sheshes, command Rebbe Elazar represents the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. And as the Mefarshim explained, there's really no machloikis between Rav Tavyumi and Rav Kahana. The machloikis is only how it was expressed. But they both in halacha are in agreement. So asks Rashi, why isn't it enough that he should just be mevatel shus to one person? I forgot to participate in the eruv, and I was mevatel shus only to one of my neighbors. But once I was mevatel shus to that neighbor, so now my home belongs to that neighbor, and that neighbor participated in the eruv. So why would there be a need to be mevatel rishus according to anybody, to every neighbor? So Rashi answers that since the bitul rishus takes place on Shabbos, it's too little, too late. Says the Bi'er Locha, according to Rashi, that if the whole problem, way Rashi is understanding it, is if I wasn't mevatel rishus to every neighbor, is because it only happened on Shabbos. But according to Rashi, says the Bi'er Locha, if I would be mevatel rishus, the Mishnah Berurah and Siman Shin Pei, if I would be mevatel rishus only to one neighbor, but that bitul rishus took place on Erev Shabbos, then the halacha would be that everybody would agree that that is a valid bitul rishus and adequate. Amalei Papa Labaya, Rebbe Elazar, who says that if mevatel rishus chatzeroi, then we say your home is included. I amar lo mevatlina. If somebody says, I'm being mevatel rishus chatzeri, but not rishus in my home, or vice versa, according to Rabbanan, he says explicitly that not only I'm being mevatel rishus chatzeri, I'm also being mevatel rishus beisi. My, what's the halacha? And the Gemara analyzes this question. Do we say, Tam de Beleza, Mishim de Kosova, mevatel rishus chatzeri, rishus beitel? We say, whoever does it in the most generous way. For hi, in this individual, Omer, who said explicitly, Anom of Atlina, so we can't say he was Mavatlit. Adil Matam de Belezim, Mishun de Bais Bloy Chotzer, Levita Inch de Diary. People don't have a home without a Chotzer. In their world, the Chotzer was an integral part of where they lived. And once you're Mavatlit, you're Shus and your Chotzer, your home automatically travels together. So if I was Mavatlit, there was Shus the Chotzer, and therefore, kikamalim vatilna. Even if I explicitly said I'm not being mevatel rishus beisi, lav kol kamine. He doesn't have the ability to separate them because the bias and the chotzer are so integrally linked. So avgav the amadirina, and therefore, even if he says I do want to separate it, lav klum kamer. It's a meaningless statement. And the same way it goes the other way. Lerabotin, iam mevatlina. When he says explicitly I'm mevatel rishus beisi, my what will be the halacha? Do we say, people are not necessarily that generous. And just because he was mevatel rishus chatzeroi, rishus beisai lebitel, doesn't mean he was mevatel rishus beisai. However, this person who explicitly says he's being mevatel rishus beisai, so vada, it works. A person who's living here doesn't completely separate himself from his chotzer and from his home, and remain like a guest, and be a guest in his own home. And therefore, even if he said explicitly that he's being mevatel rishus beisai, v'hai ki am mevatelna. So even if he's explicitly saying that he's being mevatel rishus beisai, lav kol kamine, he doesn't have the ability to do that. He doesn't have the ability to say that I'm going to be a guest in my own home. Amalei, so Abai said to Rapapa, Bein Rabbanan, Bein Rabbelezer, both according to Rabbanan, but according to Rabbelezer, Kivin the goli dati goli. If he said something explicitly, certainly that's what stands in halacha, and that's what we take into consideration. We furthermore learned in the Mishnah, in quoting the opinion of Rabbi Loi, Bekein Shemati, Rabbi Loi says from Rabbi Lezer, Shiyotzen ba'kablin, you could use our kablin for Pesach, for the mitzvah of Achilas Mor. And a kablin apparently was some sort of a growth that grew around trees. My kablin, I'm showing atzava chizosa. It was some sort of a growth that grew around a tree, and it had the taste of moror, and therefore he held that it's kosher for moror. Rabbanon, however, say moror has to be something that grows from the ground. Why? So explains the Ritva, because the Rabbanon say that moror is connected to matzah. A matzah is made from grain that grows from the ground. So that's like matzah has to be some from grain that grows from the ground. So too must moror be something that grows from the ground. Others say that the reason the Rabbanon held that our krablin, the Reino Chanal says, the reason the Rabbanon held our krablin wasn't acceptable for moror, that it doesn't have any moisture in it. And they held that moror, by definition, has to be something that grows, that has some natural moisture in it. Hanun loch oisin pasin, hanun loch oisin pasin, hanun loch oisin pasin.